Okay, I would like to inform all parties that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we shall start the official one there, Jack, if that's okay.
We're all ready to go there, Tony. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Tony Hutchison, VK5ZAI, your moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew on the ISS, we soon hope to establish contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 410 kilometres above the Earth over the Indian Ocean. This is all accomplished with ARIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. The ISS is currently approaching our ARIS ground station in Meadow Springs, Western Australia, whizzing along at nearly 28,000 kilometres per hour. The contact today will be formed using the ARIS Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to speak with the ISS. The audio for today's contact will also be available live around the world via the amateur radio Echolink and IRLP networks, handled by Bob, VK4DA, in Queensland, Australia. ARIS is a consortium of volunteers of nine nations that develop and operate the amateur radio equipment on board the International Space Station. Those that support ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the American AMSAT Amateur Radio Satellite Corporations, Canadian Space Agency, European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, and Roscosmos, the Russian Space Agency, and NASA. Amateur Radio Ground Station that will establish contact with the ISS today is a VK6MJ, located in Meadow Spring, West Australia, and operated by Martin Diggins. We have around 5 minutes until contact time. Our link up today will be with the students attending the Templestowe College in Templestowe, Victoria. We've asked Year 11 student, Sophia, to please tell us a little about your school and the students taking part today. Thanks, Sophia.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Sophia, and I'm a student here at Templestowe College, or TC as we call it. We are a state school in the southeast corner of Australia in the state of Victoria. The school is in the suburb of Templestowe, about 20 kilometres east of Melbourne. Melbourne has a population of about 4 million people. This year it was rated the second most livable city in the world for the second year running. Melbourne has a lot of history, tourist attractions, cafes and gardens, as well as being the sporting capital of Australia. Spring has just started here, so the rain and the cold of winter is being replaced by hotter, drier weather. It is currently sunny and about 16 degrees centigrade, but the sun is due to set shortly, which will see the temperatures drop to about 5 degrees centigrade. Melbourne is notorious for having varied weather and can have weather from all four seasons in one day. TC is a school of about 1,100 students and is breaking new ground in education, with a number of the students and activities available being student-led. Students do not wear uniforms and call their teachers by their first name, which is very unusual in Australia. We have a one-person policy whereby teachers and students have an equal voice in how the school is run and operated. Everybody is treated the same. Yes is our default answer, meaning that if we want to do, make, or learn something, the answer has to be yes, unless it takes too much time, too much money, or negatively impacts on the community. Each student has an individual learning plan, and they are able to choose from a large number of elective subjects at the year level that suits them. We have a school farm on a suburban site and do all our own animal husbandry, with students taking the leading role with teacher supervision. TC was nominated and shortlisted for Australian Government School of the Year in 2019. Over.
Thanks, Sophie. Now to Martin, VK6MJ. Before the contact begins, please tell us a little about your station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation today.
Hello, everybody. My name's Martin, and I live in Meadow Springs in Western Australia. And I've been a radio operator for over 30 years. My other great interest has always been space and satellites, having grown up watching the Apollo missions. My antenna is computer controlled, and I'll be switching to that on video from time to time, which follows the ISS as it moves across the sky here in WA. The received signal is sent from my radio to a phone patch unit and sends the voice of the astronaut to you. The astronaut will also be able to hear you when you talk back. Just before I transmit, I will open the squelch, so listen to this. And then I will call the astronaut. I will continue to call and listen until we hear the astronaut calling us back. At first, the audio may be a little scratchy and noisy, but it will soon become clear as the ISS gets over a little higher in the sky. And very important, do not forget to say the word over at the end of each question. When you hear the astronaut say over, then it's time for the next question. So just go straight on to it. Back to you, Tony.
Thanks, Martin. In a short time, the space station will be coming over the horizon and within radio range. Remember, what we're doing on the ISS is an experiment, so we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And students, don't forget to say over at the end of your question. In around about half a minute, the station should be coming over Meadow Springs. It's all yours, Martin, and good luck.
Thank you, Tony. Okay, it's just about here. Just a few more seconds to go, and then I will call the astronaut, Nick Haig, on the ISS. Here we go. Stand by. NA-1SS, NA-1SS, NA-1SS. This is Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet in Perth, calling for a scheduled ARIS contact. Do you copy? Over. NA-1SS, Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet. A little scratchy. How's my copy? Back to you.
Yes, good morning. I've got you clear, a little bit scratchy, but I can understand what you're saying. Pleasure to be with you this morning.
Over. Still a little scratchy, but it's getting stronger and stronger. Back to you one more time. Over to you, Nick. NA-1SS, NA-1SS, Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet. How copy?
Victor Kilo, Mike Juliet, I've got you loud and clear. This is NA-1SS.
Excellent copy, 5x9. Okay, it's over to the school for the first question, please. Go ahead.
What is the most interesting thing you've seen in space or from the International Space Station? My name is Dylan. Over.
Yes, Dylan, obviously it is a wonderful sight to be able to look out the window and see the Earth glide below us. Right now I'm floating over a window in the Russian module, and we are just passing over the west coast of Australia.
Can you lift the gain a bit?
The Earth is a beautiful, very vibrant, and you can definitely tell that it's alive down there and dynamic. Over.
Hi, I'm Aiden. How do you stay healthy, and what happens if you're sick? Over.
Yes, Aiden, staying healthy is super challenging up here because the effect of not having gravity work against our body causes all kinds of changes that we have to adapt to. So in order to stay healthy, we have to exercise every day, just like you have to exercise every day to stay healthy on the ground, although we do a bit more of it up here. So 45 minutes a day, I exercise on a treadmill or a stationary cycle, and for an hour and a half, I lift weights so that my muscles and bones stay strong and I'll be able to walk when I get back on Earth. Over.
Hi, I'm Shia. Do you have free time, and if so, what do you do with it? Over.
Well, we're up up here to work in their long work days, 12 hours. We start work at 7:30 a.m. and finish work at 7:30 p.m. But we do find free time. And so I've got a few things that I enjoy doing. Looking out the window, I mentioned that one already, watching the earth go below. The playing with things that float in microgravity, playing with water, sitting around the table and eating with crew and playing with our food a little bit, and then obviously staying in contact with my family and loved ones.
Hi, my name's Indigo. Are there any permanent effects of being in space for a long time? Over.
You know, being in the effect of microgravity in the environment that we are in space with the additional radiation accelerates the aging process. And so some of those will correct themselves when we get back down on Earth. Some of those won't correct themselves. So there have been changes in, you know, permanent changes in vision. There's been permanent changes in the way your bones, the structure of your bones reconstitute themselves. So some of the changes are permanent. Some of them are, you know, very transitory and will go away within a month or so after being down on the ground. Over.
Hi, I'm Kira. If a family or personal emergency occurs, are you allowed to go home? Over.
That's a great question. Obviously, there are sacrifices that are made by signing up for a mission like this, and some of those sacrifices aren't by the things that the crew give up, but it's the things that the family gives up as well. And so just like being, you know, I'm active duty military, but just like being deployed, if something happens, there may not be the opportunity to come back. And so your family gives up the opportunity to have you there when they need you most, and you give up the opportunity to be there for them when you need them the most. And there have been examples of that happen over the course of the spaceflight program. Over.
Hi, I'm Maya asking for Callum. What interesting experiments do you perform on the ISS? Over.
There are so many that we perform up here. In the course of my 200 days on orbit, we'll do about 350 different experiments. And they span this entire spectrum from figuring out new materials, like new rubbers that we could use in tires to make cars more fuel efficient, or new ways to produce fiber optics so that we can reduce and reduce the cost of telecommunications and improve the quality of it. New materials like that, all the way to the other end of the spectrum where we're working with biology and we're trying to figure out mechanisms within the human body to help find cures for Alzheimer's or cancer. But probably the most interesting, cutting-edge one that I've seen so far is we were trying to 3D print human organs. Over.
Hi, I'm Georgia. What does it feel like being back on Earth after a long time in space? Over.
You know, after being in space a long time, it's going to take time to just get used to walking again. Up here, because there's no upside down or right side up, because gravity isn't pulling me against something, my inner ear doesn't really know which way to orient itself. So my mind, for a while now, has stopped listening to my inner ear. I don't get dizzy. As soon as I get back down on the ground, my brain is going to have to figure out how to process that additional information, and it's going to take a while before I can walk steadily, and it's also going to take a little bit of time before I can be fully aware. For instance, when I get back down on the ground, I won't be able to drive a vehicle for several weeks until the medical professionals clear me to do so because of that instability in my inner ear. And that's just one of the many effects that have to readapt on the ground.
Hi, I'm Joshua. Are there any international space laws and censorship laws that govern people on the International Space Station? Over.
NA1SS, NA1SS, Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet. How copy?
laws that govern people on the ISS. Obviously, we are responsible for living up to the laws of the countries we come from, but I think that our crew atmosphere up here transcends that, and the crew look at each other as though we're brothers and sisters and crewmates whose lives depend on each other, and that's a bar far higher than the laws of each individual country. That is something that unites us in a closer bond. Over.
Hi, I'm Mitchell. How much fuel do you use maneuvering the ISS around space debris? Over.
Yeah, Mitchell, we try to use as little as we can. So there is a constant observation looking for all the pieces of trash and space debris that are flying around the sky, and there's a massive team on the ground that keeps us clear of that. But if we need to move, then we use the vehicles that come up at the end of the program vehicles, because they bring up cargo for us and then they go away and they are trash and burn up on the entry, so they are heavy for the fuel. It's what we end up consuming.
Question, go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm Ewan. Do astronauts ever feel isolated, and if so, how do they cope? Over.
Yeah, surprisingly, we don't feel, I haven't felt isolated up here. The space station is rather large, and a crew of six. There's a lot going on, and we also have the ability to make phone calls and video conferences with people on the ground, and we're constantly talking with mission control through our daily work. So the idea of feeling claustrophobic and isolated has never really been a problem for me. Over.
We have less than 1 minute, so let's make our farewell to Nick on the astronaut. Tony, can you take control of that, please? Go ahead.
Thanks, Martin. Students at Temple Stowe, if you could do just a big thank you after 1, 2, 3. Go ahead.
Back to you, Nick. Thanks. If you can still copy, and thank you.
I have given up a lot.
NA1SS, this is VK6, Mike Juliet. I believe we've lost you. Thank you once again. Back to the school. Well done, everybody.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have just heard a moment in history. Amateur radio station, VK6MJ, operated by Martin Diggins, contacted astronaut Nick Haig, KG5TMV, aboard the International Space Station, who spoke with students at the Templestowe College in Templestowe, Victoria. Now from the international team of ARIS, including Amateur Radio Satellite Corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, Canadian Space Agency, European Space Agency, Japanese Space Agency, and NASA, this is Tony Hutchison, amateur radio operator, VK5ZAI in Kingston, South Australia. Sending you my greetings to all of you in amateur radio terms, 73s, which means best wishes. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks to all the students at Templestowe College, Jack and Neil, who prepared the students. You did an excellent job. And thanks very much, Martin, for your help today. We did appear to have a couple of small fade-outs, which I'm not quite sure why, but we'll try and analyse that later. It could be conditions. It could be the attitude at which the station is flying that made the copy a little difficult at times. But thanks very much. And, Jack, is there anyone at the school that would like to say anything before we close?
I think I could say on behalf of the school, thank you very much to the ARIS team and yourself and Martin for doing the downlink. Yes, we did have a couple of fade-outs, but at least we got quite a few questions through. But I would like everyone in the room here to put their hands together for the team.
I will endeavour to get a recording from the operator in the next few days, and I'll forward it on to Neil at Templestowe there, and he might like to run a copy off the students that were involved. Thanks very much, Martin. Have you anything to say before we stop the recording?
Sorry about that. There we go. Thank you, everybody. That was great. And, not sure why we had the fade out there, but I was able to pull him back. So quite pleased to be able to do that. So I wish you all 7-3 and all the very, very best. Back to you, Tony.
Well, thanks, Martin. Conference coordinator, could you stop the recording now, please?
Will do.